Play. Kids love it. Brains need it. But people don't always understand it. Here to help explain it, your hosts, Keisha and Heather. They're knee-deep in play.
Hey, everybody. This week we're going to talk about flexibility and what that means in our play-based programs. Hey, Heather.
Hi, Keisha.
I came up with the idea to talk about flexibility when I realized, honestly, how many times in a day that I have to self-reflect or that my team and I have to reflect to make decisions. And I also realized how seriously we take making decisions based on what's best for the children. We don't make decisions based on, you know, do I feel like cleaning that up? Do I feel like looking for that supply? Do I feel like, you know, it's not based on first us. And I think that in my past, at least, I know I've worked at programs or with people where that was the first thought. Like, okay, me. You know, oh, no, that's too messy. We're not doing that today. Or, oh, no, I don't feel like going outside because it's too cold. So I just feel like, this week a couple times and last week a couple times, I really just stopped and reflected on how lucky I am to have a staff of a team that truly, truly puts the children first. They don't just say it, they really do. And one of the things that kind of really made me stop and think about that is an ongoing thing that we've been finagling with over the last 2 years, which is our nap time. You remember when I mean, it's always been, and I think it's probably always a sticky subject or like a, I don't know, something that most centers who really think outside of the box or who really want to make things work for the children that they have kind of have to deal with. Normally, nap is nap and that is it. If you don't have to nap, you just got to lay down. And I think laying down quiet and still, like is expected of many 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, for sometimes 3 hours is not realistic. And it's not, I mean, when we first opened, it was with the thought that this is required, it's a reg, we have to do it. So it started out that way. Very, you know, you have to do it, it's a reg, it's required. Then I started to think, well, this isn't working because there are genuinely children who do not need to rest. There are genuinely children who do not need a nap. And I want to rephrase that. Not that they don't need to rest. They may have rested already this morning when they were reading a book for 20 minutes, or they may want to hang out for a while, but there are genuinely children who do not need to sleep. So what do we do for those children? Because we found that continuously repeating, be still, be quiet, don't touch that, don't get up. I know you don't have to use the bathroom again for the 50th time. We found that that just wasn't meeting the needs of the children, and it wasn't fun for us. So we had to self-reflect and figure out some different ideas, like what can we do? First thing was, let me look at the regs because I don't think it specifically says every child must lay down on a cot for 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever the time frame is. So that was my first plan of action. What do you say about nap time? What do you guys find the same struggles around that?
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, mm-hmm. It's like we're in the same nap room, totally. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, you've sort of shared some dialogue, you've posted about it before, and I've read your posts, and I've thought, holy shit, she's so brave. Like, because I sort of, you know, when I think about logistically how you're accomplishing that, it by no means am I nervous or fearful of, you know, how is the regulation phrased? How do we meet the regulation? How do we make sure that the kids who need naps do get time to nap? All that, I can tackle all that, and my team can tackle all that. but we don't have a separate room. There's nowhere in the building where there's a separate room where children who aren't sleeping could be. And the other thing is, of course, everybody has to have their lunch break. So we brainstormed after you first posted about it, about how, well, what if one preschool room is the room where people nap and the other preschool room is the room where the children who don't nap? And we cannot seem to figure out the logistics of it. So anytime you bring it up, I always think, oh, I need more information.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've gone through, we've tried many things. So at the beginning, the first thing was, because we were still under the notion that everybody's got to lay down. So now what do? Okay, well, let's entertain the ones that don't need the rest. So we gave them, like, busy bags or an activity. You know, you could pick Legos or you can pick. And that worked for about 15 minutes. And then, of course, children, they want to interact with each other. So maybe a Lego was going from one cot, like, flying from one cot to another. And then it just didn't work. So we said, okay, that's not working. So how about if we have the non-sleepers on this half of the room and the sleepers on that half of the room and then give them the activities? And that was working for a while, but then it, again, became a get off your cot and run across the room and making noise, like noise that was distracting the children who needed to rest. So we tried, you don't have to get on a cot. We'll do activities at the table with the teacher. And that was working okay. But what we're finding now after a bunch of finagling with not just with where non-nappers will go or where nappers will go, but also the schedule. That's something that you brought up. That was a big thing. And what I will have to say that I absolutely love about the flexibility of my staff is that they have switched their breaks several times to figure out what works best so that they say, okay, well, if I leave at this time, that means we're short on, you know, hands for getting that transition from lunch to nap. So how about I change that and we try to have me break a little later or have me break a little earlier or I'll eat lunch with the kids and then I'll take my break after. So they've been really, really flexible to make it work for the kids. And I know that the dynamics of my program is different than yours, so I think every program is going to have to do a lot of, like we have over the last literally 2 years, figuring things out. And I still don't think it's necessarily perfect, but right now what we do is we have lunch, the children who need to rest, which we know who sleeps, and then the children also know, because there are some who don't sleep some days, and then other days they're like, you know what, today I need my cot. And that was also a shocker. I mean, we believed that would happen, and we wanted to believe it, but to see it really happen is awesome. To see a child say, you know what, I need my cot, I'm tired, listen to their body, and lay down and go to sleep. So right now what we do is the children who need naps, they eat lunch, they go to the bathroom, they wash their hands, they get their cot out, they get it ready, they lay down, they take a nap. The children who don't need naps, they eat lunch, they wash their hands, they use the bathroom, they get their coats and shoes on, and they go outside. And it's been working perfectly. And some days we have everybody sleeping. Some days we may have four. And those are and even a couple of our friends who don't sleep choose to stay on their cots. And it seems as if because it is a choice and it is their choice, they take the choice and they're quiet on their cot and they rest. Whereas when it's a forced thing, I think it just kind of opens up the head bumping, you know, well, I don't want to do this. Why do I have to lay here? And it's hard for them to understand because they're not tired. So at 4 years old, that's almost like having a 3-hour circle time. Like, I don't want to sit here in this one spot. So right now it's working for us. Breaks are working. Everybody's getting what they need. And we are feeling really pretty good about the way it's working right now. Now, what's going to happen in the winter, we'll see. We're going to have to be flexible and figure it out. And I think that's what I mean by flexible. So you can't – I don't think you can say before children arrive, before you know what's, you know, how the dynamic of your program is going to be, I don't think it's easy to say this is our schedule and we're sticking to it. Because you never know where you need to be flexible within that.
Okay, so that is a huge example of how your team at Discovery is massively flexible. You talked about how they don't just, you don't just say that you're there for the children's needs. You talk the talk and you walk the walk. I completely agree with you that flexibility is a massive key component in any good program. And I'm going to get up my nerves. I'm going to get up my nerves to get on the ball and try some of this with relation to the nap. I don't need to try being flexible because our team, we have a lot of success stories about different levels of flexibility as well. So I agree that that is so important. You have inspired me to do a lot of thinking around the whole nap time thing. And because you brought this up on this episode, I'm like, this is so great. I'm going to get the preschool team to listen to this episode and we can revisit it because it just sort of the last couple of times we brainstormed about it, I think it just all made us like, I mean, the looks on our faces, we're like, whoa, like how do we even like, because it's not hard to sell it in that it's what children need and it's what would be best for everybody, right? Because we do know that, I mean, you do know that these ones just, they just don't sleep. And it's everything you described at the beginning of the episode about, you know, get on your bed, stay on your bed. Did you hear me? I said, stay on your bed. Like that whole thing, it's awful. It's just, it's not, and it's
that's
for them.
What we just stopped and we're like, this is so the opposite of what we do all day. Like it has to be so confusing to them.
You're right. That's perfect what you just said. It has to be so confusing because we do support them in all of their interests and everything. I mean, there's times like, you know I bring up Bev and Michael too much. Like, not too much in that what they have to say isn't good stuff, but I mean, I do reference them a lot. But one of those things that they always talk about is to say to children when they're playing, you know, do you have all that you need? Is there anything I can get for you? And then here they are. They're on these beds. And they don't want to be on these beds. And so the rest of the day, you're asking them, what do you need? What can I get for you? And in this case, it's like, get on the bed, stay on the bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like our ears are closed. Sorry. And I get it. I think for me with one room and 20 children, it's definitely easier. And it's still not easy to figure out the puzzle piece of breaks and hours and ratios. So I know that it's not it's not easy for a larger center or even a center with more than one room. So I get that. And it may not be whatever you guys figure out won't look the same as whatever I figure out won't look the same as whatever the center down the road figures out. But it is important to plan for all the children, not just the children who need the rest. So I think it's important both ways. The resters are important, and we definitely need to make sure that they have an environment where they can get what they need, and then vice versa. Another time this week that made me really say, okay, Keisha, be flexible, and it wasn't even a convincing. It kind of was like, all right, well, I know that what it was after our harvest festival, we had pumpkins everywhere, pumpkins outside, pumpkins inside, pumpkins everywhere. And, of course, we had paint out, and the kids had carved pumpkins the day before. And so one of our friends had the idea of, and I thought this was totally awesome because no one showed him this. Of course, children are full of great, wonderful ideas, and it was a good example of how they don't need us to show them these things for them to occur. So anyway, he had the little bottle of acrylic paint, and he put it, he held it upside down, and began to squeeze and 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 squeeze on the paint. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, he's going to use the whole thing of paint. And then my second thought was, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And quickly, like in my brain, in a matter of 30 seconds, I had the whole self-reflection. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. That's okay. I just bought new paint. There's plenty in the back. I'm going to go ahead and let go of all this paint right here on the shelf. And I did. And that was definitely being flexible because I think it can be confusing, and it's hard when you say, here is some paint, but we're not going to use all of it. So, you're divvying out, but they have a different idea that needs a lot of paint. So I just had to say to myself, this right now is more important than me thinking about not having paint the next day or not having paint the day after that. Right now is when they need it. So he's squeezing it out and squeezing it, and he's getting another color and doing drips and drops. And have you ever seen those pour paintings?
I'm sorry, what? Have I ever seen
those,
what?
Those pour paintings when they pour the paint on top and it just keeps dripping and all the colors are combining and it's coming. Oh, like I've seen them do it like on a block or something really tall.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen a video of it. I haven't.
Okay.
I don't think so. So is that something you do at your program?
No, I didn't. The child did. That's exactly what he was doing. He was squeezing the paint on top, and it was pouring down the sides of the pumpkin, and the colors were blending, and it was marbleizing, and you'd have one layer on top of the other. Beautiful. And, of course, the other children around him were like, oh, my gosh, that's so awesome. So we're just supplying more and more paint. So I think in moments like that, we need to be flexible with supplies and materials. We need to say, right now, what they're doing is so worth it to them to use this paint.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go for it. And we did. And it was awesome. So, no, it's not something that we adults said, today we're going to do this, but it's something that the children came up with, or one child came up with and then was able to inspire other children to try the technique as well, and it was so awesome.
That really sounds really cool. So when they were all trying it, did they all need their own pumpkins, or they just all shared that same pumpkin and kept doing it?
Nope, they all already had their own pumpkins because there were pumpkins everywhere. So they all had their own pumpkins, and many of them were painting with brushes or with their hands, all different ways. But when a lot of them saw his technique, they were like, well, I'm going to need a bottle of paint too. Let's go for it. So it ended up being not only so much fun, but such an exciting process to see those colors keep blending and mixing and dripping down. It was pretty cool.
So that sounds really cool, and you absolutely have to make sure that I see pictures of that, because that sounds super cool. When they want, at our program, you know, if they want unlimited supplies of paint, we support that as well. I can't recall seeing anybody pour in that manner, but with our size, our center, the size of our center, I can't say that it hasn't happened. Anyway, when you said you wanted to do the topic of flexibility, my brain went in a completely different direction. So I love that you brought up the nap, because that's something I've been wanting to revisit and discuss and go through. So I love that. And I think that a lot of our listeners are going to think, well, holy mackerel, how does she achieve that? And it's really going to spark a lot of conversation and participation. And then, again, your example right now, the fact that you yourself, even though you breathe what you say, you do what you say, you practice what you preach, when that child went to squeeze that all out, I loved that you shared your thought processes. Because in a moment, you know, in a flick of 10 seconds or however long it is, you're thinking to yourself, holy crow, that kid's going to use that whole bottle. But then moments later, it's like, oh, he's going to use the whole bottle.
Uh-huh. So, and I was thinking, and I know if he uses the whole bottle, how am I going to tell Susie next to him she can't use the whole bottle? You know what I mean? So, like you said, it was that quick thought process. And exactly how you said it, oh, he is going to, you know, it switches, because I'm like, oh. And
well,
I always think I would have stopped that.
And
I think
it
that if we just.
It's three things, because it's first like, oh, he's going to use the whole bottle. And then it's like, oh, he's going to use the whole bottle. Then it's, oh, he's going to use the whole bottle. then it has to be like you said, then your brain immediately switches gears and you're almost like doing an inventory of your art supplies because you're like, holy crow, how many kids are here? How many pumpkins are there? How many bottles of paint do I need right this minute?
Yep, because you know that.
Where my brain went was, which we don't usually, I don't think you and I ever in episodes talk like generally administratively, but my brain went administratively about flexibility. So when I first became a director, you know, how the classrooms were going to set out their routine, like you have to post for licensing a routine. Okay, and so we've always said for the whole 20 years that, you know, this is our routine. It's a guideline. All these things will happen likely every single day, but how they play out, we're more responsive to the children's needs and interests. So we might be outside before we have circle. We might be this, we might be that, we might have circle first. So it's really just a guideline for us. But in the 20 years, I've really changed how I approach things. It used to be like, if you're going to change the layout of your classroom, I'm going to be involved in that. Or, you know, if you're, you know, which one of the three of you is putting out beds, which one of you is doing this. So when you said flexibility, it's so funny because I do think that the majority of time I think outside the box, and the episode we're about to tape after this will really, I think, demonstrate that I can be a very creative thinker. But when you suggested this topic, that's what I thought. I thought, oh, I'm gonna say things like, oh, I'm very flexible and the team's very flexible because this room, they're given autonomy about, like, you know, how do you want to set up your room? No problem. Go ahead. Oh, that sounds neat. Oh, nobody's ever done it that way. Go for it. Then the room next to them, they have a very rigid schedule because they're a different type of personalities. And so they like to, you know, use their calendar, and this is the day we're doing laundry, and this is the day we're doing this. And even though that's so different than the other classroom, how they do things, I'm like, oh no, we have to let everybody work to their strengths, and we have to support everybody's style, and we have to embrace everybody's style. And so as a team, we have to have that level of flexibility about how each individual team member approaches their tasks, duties, and responsibilities, and how each, if this team member goes on vacation for a couple of weeks, or this team member this, then you wind up being in that team for a couple of weeks, you know, how will you fit in with that team because they approach things differently? And, you know, being accommodating and supportive. And that's exactly what I thought you were going to talk about, because you've been talking a lot about, you know, interviewing and hiring for your other locations. So I thought that's what she's going to be talking about.
No, anyway. But those are all things that are wonderful and all things that I think are ongoing things that I work on within myself. So I think that's important as well. Definitely something that I am constantly working on for myself. Because in that respect, I don't necessarily think flexibility comes natural to me in that respect. So sometimes we need to take the way that we treat the children or the beliefs that we have about the children and flip them to the adults in our life as well.
Okay, so I know we're ending this. I can see at some point in time we may have to follow up and do some more on flexibility because, you know, both of our brains are going to start mulling this over and thinking about this. But I have a very strange question to ask you as we end. I am visualizing the paint and the pumpkin. So I just have to ask because in my brain I see what color the paint was. So what color was the paint?
There was purples and blues, all different shades of purples, all different shades of blues. Some whites, a little bit of black, all kinds of colors. Some gray was in there.
Was that at your fall festival, you said?
No, actually, that was the next day at school. It was yesterday.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, well, I guess, you know, seeing as how it's been 27 minutes and 51 seconds. I love the topic. Thanks so much for coming up with it. It's a great one, and I'd love to hear what people have to say about it. And I think you're going to, I think we're going to get a lot of people talking to us about nap time. Or should I say talking to you about nap time?
And no, talking to us. Some people may be where I'm at. Some people may be where you're at, especially if they have a larger center. Because I know that the dynamics of ours is a bit different. So, I don't know. Let's see.
Okay. All right. So, everybody, thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
This has been Knee Deep in Play. Join us next week for another episode. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.